Hello, Columbus, Tri-City area, and the Chattahoochee Valley, and a special hello to all my friends and listeners down by Eufaula, South Georgia, and South Alabama. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation, and today is Sunday, March 18th, 2018. I hope you guys have been having a good weekend thus far as we get ready for this upcoming work week. We are halfway through the month of March, a little over halfway through at this point, just a couple days over. But the month of March is flying by and it is going on through. Next thing we know, we will be in full blown summertime, ready for that summer attire. Those sandals, those shorts, the t-shirts, the tank tops, and just let everything cool off, because I promise you it's gonna be hot. But whatever you do, make sure you properly manicure. I mean, even brothers, too. It's okay to get your toenails clipped every now and then, especially if you're going to wear those open-toe sandals. You know, we just want to make sure that everything is aesthetically pleasing as we're presenting ourselves to the community. Aesthetically pleasing as we present ourselves to the community. But again, I'm looking forward to this summer. It's always something about warm weather. You know, things get to going, the barbecue grills are burning, you can hear the music playing, you know, in people's yards, and people just having a good time out and about, moving. You know, back home where I grew up, summertime was a great time for us to start enjoying softball games, and you know, family would come visit from different areas. School was out. So, you know, summer was just always an amazing time to just fellowship, get with friends, get with family, and enjoy the beautiful weather. So I'm looking forward to that this summer, of taking more time out for my family and my friends to make sure that I really get an opportunity to enjoy them and just let them know, you know, sometimes how much you appreciate them. You know, this thing we call life, it passes very fast. I was fortunate to celebrate my grandmother's 84th birthday last week. Carrie Lou Harden over in Wilkinson County, Georgia. She celebrated 84 years of life. And when I tell you guys that my grandmother is probably one of the healthiest people I know, she still plants her own garden. You know, she plants greens and turnips and peas and strawberries and squash and cucumbers. And she even have chickens. She keep her own chickens because she liked the fresh eggs for baking her cakes and things of that nature. You know, I'm a country boy. I grew up in the country with all of that and just, you know, doing things that, you know, going deer hunting and cooking hogs out there in the yard, a 24-hour process, be up cooking all night with the ashes, cooking hogs the old-fashioned way. If you know how to barbecue, all of those people out there who really know how to barbecue, they're nodding their head right now saying, yeah, that guy talking the right stuff because he know what he's talking about. But that's summertime. We're going to have more conversations later on about summertime as we progress through the radio show. I want to talk to you about something that transpired this week all across America. And it happened Wednesday on March the 14th, 2018. Wednesday, March the 14th, 2018, this country experienced something that we had never seen happen before. We saw youth all across this country. When I say youth, I'm talking about high school students all across this country that for 17 minutes walked out of class to protest the fact that this country has not done enough to make sure that we are adequately protecting our young people and making sure we do not have guns in the hands of those who don't need them. Now, let me be clear. First of all, I'm an attorney and I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. So I do believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. Secondly, I grew up in the country, as I just told you. My family have owned guns my entire life, even my mother. My mother is a licensed gun carrier. I grew up around guns. I'm not afraid of guns. I'm used to guns. And I think that, you know, people have that constitutional right to carry guns. So it's not about taking guns away from people. The question becomes, how do we as a society incorporate and enact common sense laws that don't infringe upon people's Second Amendment rights to carry, but most importantly, make sure that we protect those that shouldn't have guns anyway? And yes, I say protect them, because with the gun, they are dangerous to themselves. And because this issue has gone untouched and unscathed for so long, young people all across this country came together and said, we are tired of it. And of course, this was sparked after what happened in Florida, down in Florida, where the school where you had 17 kids that were killed down in Parkland, Florida, not too long ago by a student that was able to acquire AR-15 and really pulled a military-style attack. He went into the school with smoke bombs and pulled the fire alarm, so people thought that that was a true emergency. And as they came flooding out, he was spraying bullets down the hallway. You know, it's a tragic scene that no one's child should have to endure. And all across this country, an unprecedented show of unity and respect and civil disobedience was demonstrated by students that wanted their voices to be heard. It was first done in Florida, and guess what? It made a difference in Florida. Florida passed a bill to work on restricting gun access and making sure that background checks and things of that nature were properly done before someone could get a gun in their actual hands. And again, this is not denying them the right to the gun. And anybody who would say that's what Teddy is talking about at this point, you're actually being dishonest. And I can't have a conversation with a dishonest person who won't listen to me and who refused to hear exactly what I'm saying. That's part of the political discourse that we have right now in America, is that you have people that when you mention one particular topic, they automatically go to the end of the spectrum without giving you an opportunity to adequately express what you mean. Sometimes we just need to do two things. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. Stop and listen to me as I am talking. Do not be formulating in your head your response that you're going to come back at me with before I even get finished. That tells me you have missed part of my message. That tells me you did not hear exactly what I wanted you to hear. And so that complicates the conversation, because when you reply to me, now you're half replying to what I was trying to get out. So these students came together. And when I tell you, I am so proud of these students. You know, the Bible says the youth will lead us. The Bible tells us that the youth will rise up and they will lead us. And when it gets to the point where our children are saying, this is enough, we are sick and we are tired, we are at a point in which we should be paying attention. But I also think there's another opportunity here. There's an opportunity for us to have a greater conversation as a society as to where we want to go with reducing crime and violence altogether. If our children are now willing to rise up and fight against gun violence and speak out against gun violence, we can marry that with attacking crime and violence altogether. We can now grab our children again, pull them to safety, and say, let's work collectively to address the issues that we have in our individual communities. Let's work together to not only protest and work against school shootings, but let's protest and work against a shooting where a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old are shot in the street. Let's get together and protest and work against issues where young folks are being shot at the mall, or young folks being shot at a restaurant, or people being shot up outside a club. We can work on those issues too, but we miss opportunities when we try to shut our young people down and don't give them the opportunity to talk. Now, as you know, here in Muskogee County, the administration came together and decided that they did not want students to walk out. And so they planned and organized an event where selective students from schools were allowed to come to the come to one location, which was here at the Board of Education building. And they had a Skype call with the local delegation from here in Columbus, our local legislatures, telling them how they feel about gun issues. We're going to play a little bit of that for you so that you can hear some of what the students had to say and what some of the responses were from those individuals. And at this point, we'll just roll a little tape and let you listen to that. And we'll be right back.
We have first, what can we all do to reduce gun slash weapon violence in Muskogee County?
Representative Buckner is going to entertain that.
Let me begin first by saying that I am once again so proud of my hometown, Columbus. I think the way that we are honoring the memory of the lives lost in this fashion is just something that we can all be very proud of. I do think in regard to your question about reducing guns and weapons and the violence that they sometimes cause is something that we are going to have to look at. It is a societal issue that has many different people that are for and against many different solutions. We do need to look at our laws. We do need to also look at the mental health services that are provided or either are not available in communities. And we need to do things that make sure that the processes we currently have in place are working. One of the things that we have just found in Georgia is that some of the people that have had mental health illnesses that are supposed to be on the list when a background check is done to purchase a gun, that sometimes that list is not kept up to date. So we are entertaining legislation to make sure that that list is more accurate and more timely. And I think that will be helpful in our community. So that is one of the things we are actually addressing this session.
Hello, representatives. My name is Patrick Chappelle, and I'm a student at Columbus High School.
My name is Aiden Anderson, and I am also a student at Columbus High School.
Our question is, what can be done further in our community to engage students in this debate?
Senator Harbison will talk about that.
Well, thank you very much, and I, too, would like to express my appreciation for your energy and especially your concern about the tragedy that occurred in the latest shooting in America. I think what you're doing right now is supremely important. That in conjunction with organizing and realizing your full potential for societal involvement. You have got to realize that it takes you, it takes us, all of us. My grandmother used to say, five fingers will make a great team. But if you stay apart like that and you focus on other things that's not productive to getting the job done, you're going to fail. But right now, you have the attention of the world. You are a very important component to this debate because you're saying enough is enough, that we just won't take this anymore because this is a very assault against societal and its future, and I believe that. So what you're doing now, registering to vote, become involved, volunteer for campaigns, I think that's really important to you making a huge dent into the debate over gun control and gun violence.
If I may add something, Representative, I'd like to echo Senator Harbison's comments. What we're doing right here is we're sitting down, we're having a rational dialogue with each other. We all come from different backgrounds, we have different points of view, but we always keep it civil. And I think one of the problems today is people are so enamored with social media and they will get on their soapbox and they will shout to the mountaintops, but you have to seek first to understand and then seek to be understood. And this is a great first step in that direction.
Yes, Representative Smith.
I also would like to make a brief comment on this. It is much easier to develop good policy when you throw emotions out. Because like Representative Pizzol and Senator Harbison said, you have so many different views about guns and about gun violence or causes primarily. But if we can separate emotions out of all these issues, you come up with a much better policy than you do if you let emotions drive a policy.
This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We've heard a little bit of what our students at Muskogee County School District had to say to our state legislators in Atlanta in regards to their issues and their concerns with gun safety. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. When we come right back, we're going to pick right back up with listening to a little bit more. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Hope you're having a great day.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel. And a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Thank you.
This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reeves coming back from the break to all my listeners in Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, Tri-City area, all the way down to Eufaula and the Georgia-Florida line. You are listening to Sunday Conversation, and we are talking today about students all over America Wednesday that walked out of school for 17 minutes. They walked out for 17 minutes because 17 minutes represented 1 minute for each person who died, each student that died, each young person that lost their life in Parkland, Florida, due to the school shooting there. And we're going to roll a little bit more tape and let you listen to a little bit more what the students have to say, and then I'll come back and we'll wrap up this show.
All right. One question that we have is 93% of the recent school shooters displayed social emotional disturbances before a violent act. Do you believe schools are properly resourced to handle mental illnesses in the schools?
This is Representative Richard Smith, and to follow up on a comment I made earlier, the role of education is education. I don't think the schools are prepared unless you have the proper staff in order to do that. And all these things cost money. I know the state's put in $1.6 million for youth mental health training and signals for mental health awareness and these kind of things. But, in order to do that properly, you have to have the right training, psychologists, these kind of people on board. But when you look at some of the issues that we've experienced with these violent crimes, most of them had mental illness that was not properly, it's not one properly identified, it was not properly followed up on. Because the young man in Florida, I think, had gone to his home 40-something times. Those kind of things send up some real red flags. But that's not the role of education. That's not the role of the teachers, the school superintendent, the school board. You've got to have the specialties in order to take care of that.
So if there are, more red flags that occur, the student, will they be removed from the school? Would there be special treatment offered to those students?
You're getting out of an area that my expertise is very limited in. If you have red flags, then there are organizations within every community that need to be notified, and those entities are the ones who should follow up on those red flags.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
This is Senator Josh McCoon. I served on a joint study committee a couple of years ago on our state's mental health access. And Representative Smith is correct. I mean, it's expensive to offer the kind of access that is needed. Governor Deal has has made a greater investment in mental health access, but we need to do more. And we also need to have, I think, a clearer policy in place so that if a teacher or an administrator at a school district sees some behavior, and Representative Smith is exactly right, they're not in a position to diagnose a mental health condition, but there ought to be a clear understanding of what procedure then is followed to try to make sure that person is connected with the services they need to see if they have a mental health issue, to be properly diagnosed and to receive the treatment they need. But all of that is going to require a much more robust investment from taxpayers.
In addition to that, this is State Representative Carolyn Hughley. In addition to that, our schools have to be like communities, and students have a role to play as well. So when students see something that's going on that's out of line, I want you all to take it upon yourselves to report it to your teachers so that they can do what's needed to get the kind of help that somebody might need. Because teachers may not notice it, but if it's your friend or your classmate, you may be the first one to notice that something is going awry.
And this is State Representative Debbie Buckner, and I'd be curious to know how things have changed over time with the counseling system in the schools. When I attended school, we saw the counselor maybe once a year to talk about next year's subjects. But is it different now? Do you go and see counselors? Do you have an opportunity to talk to the school counselor about problems? That's a question that I'd love to have answered by you guys.
I'm from Double Churches Middle School. I'm going to have to say yes on that because there's been multiple incidences where all of my friends had to go up to the counselor and talk to them about their problems. Also, we also have positive behavior interventions. So it's like if you do something good, you get rewarded. But if you do something bad or like let's say something's not okay, then the teachers will follow those procedures to send them up to the counselor.
Personally, I go to a different school, and I feel like going to the counselor, it's not handled in the way properly that it should be, because there was an incident with a certain student that had like an issue where they said that they were wanting to hurt themselves, and they went to the counselor. They were not sent home, and the parents were called, and then I guess they said that the student would have to come back to the counselor every once in a while just to talk to them and check up on how they were doing with their issue and how they were feeling, and the student never had to go back to the counselor.
Hold on, I'm sorry, I'm Krista Thorne. I think that's a school by school issue and not an overall issue. If you're looking for more information on that, that's more student by student. I wouldn't be asking that question for a overall delegation committee thing. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I do agree with her about the counseling. Like at my school is such a small school that everybody knows everybody. So when I was feeling down one day, my friend came to me. Yes, guided counselors are the best and they will help you, but it doesn't work for every school.
I'm going to ask, I think, one more final question. And my question is the facilities of the school. I know Hartway High School speaking, we have 9 entrances that are for students to be able to get to classes. They are open at all times. And so what can we do at Muskogee County, at Hardaway, at all these high schools in Georgia, in the state of Georgia, to make sure that our students are safe within our classrooms?
I think that this is Senator Josh McCune again. Senator John Albers is chairman of the Senate Public Safety Committee, and he's been working with members of the House on an initiative for school safety and to have planning in place to try to prepare for these kind of incidents. And what we were talking about earlier, Representative Smith and I, about making schools a harder target, some of that is, you know, how many entrances are accessible? Mm. Are the entrances monitored? What sort of security is available? Is there a plan in place if there is some sort of incident reported, and what happens when that occurs? That's not something you want to wait until an incident occurs to figure out. I think it also goes to new school construction. As we start building new schools, we need to build them in been thinking about how to make it more difficult for someone to carry out one of these sort of attacks. So that's what I've been hearing from Chairman Albers. In terms of what the legislature is trying to do to address those kinds of issues.
Thank you all very much.
Well, if I may add one more thing, I graduated from Hardaway. So when you started speaking, I immediately, it conjured up visions of a long time ago. walking through the halls, and you're right, there are a ton of entrances and exits at Hardaway. And that, it presents a logistical nightmare. If you were to maintain access to all those doors, you would have to man those doors with personnel or security systems. And it would have, just from a logistical standpoint, you would almost have to just stop access at 70-80% of those doors. So I'm tracking you on the access part of it. Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
After listening to some of our young people express their concerns to our state legislatures, there's only one thing that I can say about them is, wow, I am impressed. I am constantly impressed with our young people and their ability to handle situations that sometimes as adults we feel that is too over their head, or it's something that, you know, they shouldn't be involved in, or this is too early for them. You know, we should never get to a point to where we try to stunt the growth, whether it's mentally or experience growth of our young people. And when I think about those young people who walked out of those schools on Wednesday, I think about the bravery of people like Gloria Battle, who was willing to walk out of Alabama State University to protest civil rights. And even though she faced a harsh penalty, she did what she thought was right. and she fought for it, and she did it with a heart. She didn't do it just to get out of class or just to get off campus. She did it because she felt deep in her heart that African Americans deserve a better life and a better way of living in America. I think about those four guys who sat at those counters in North Carolina from North Carolina A&T, and how they were hit and had items thrown at them and beat and things of that nature, but they knew that it wasn't right that African Americans couldn't be served at a particular counter. Now, I'm not on any level trying to equate what our students have done to the battles of the civil rights movement, but what I'm trying to get you to see is in both situations you had young folks leading the way in a national conversation that was critical to changing the ways of America. I mean, many folks think about Martin Luther King, and we look at the pictures of him. We see him in his late age, but Martin Luther King was in his mid-20s when he started his crusade of fixing what was wrong with America. So therefore, I want us to listen to our young people. You know, Muskogee County, I applaud the school district for the format that they set up for them and allowing them to speak with our state legislators. However, there's a certain part of me, too, that wish that our young people would have had an opportunity to engage in the same form of protest as did other students all across this nation. You can't go back and reinvent. You can't go back and clean up spilled milk and certainly not complain about it, because at least they had a way to voice their opinion. But at some point, we have to be willing to allow our people to take form of their own ideas. We don't have to necessarily be, you know, respond from an objection perspective every time someone has an idea. And I think about children's safety, and I think about our young folks all the time. I spent the last 4 years of my life before going into full-time practice fighting for the marginalized, which included our school children, making sure that less of our children were suspended from school, making sure we had fair education for all our children, making sure that we had a juvenile code that worked for our juveniles that were caught in the juvenile system. So I do have a soft spot for our children. I do have a concern and a soft spot and a love for education, because I know education works. And this is coming from a young man that was raised by a single mother and being the first in his family to go to college, who's able to transcend all issues and all challenges and all adversity with the help of God and graduate 3 times with a bachelor's, a master's, and a JD. Who was able to lead a national organization of 179,000 students with a $2.5 million budget, who has graced magazines, who have sat down with prime ministers, who've traveled to states all over this country and to countries all over this globe. I'm talking from the perspective of a young man that if you would have looked at my life early off in the beginning, you would say to yourself, how did he get to where he is now? But I'm grateful of that, and I'm thankful of that, and I thank God for that, and I thank my parents for everything that they did, my mom, everything she did, and my grandmother, everything she did to keep me on track. And I say that because I want us to think about our children the same way, whether they're our children or someone else's children. Tomorrow, this country, this state, this city will be theirs to lead. Tomorrow, it will be theirs to lead. And we need to make sure that they transgress to that position, to those influence avenues, at any pace they see willing. We should welcome them to the main stage of discussion. We should open up more avenues for them to be more vocal and let us know what's going on. You know, when I worked at Geico Corporate, we had a theory that the best way that we were going to improve our product is if we listen to the voice of the customer. Well, our children, they're the customers in this situation, because everything we should be doing as adults should be to make this place better than the way we found it for the generation behind us. And if the generation behind us is giving us feedback on a situation saying, no, 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 this is not good, or this needs to be fixed, by all accounts, we should listen. And I don't want to hear anything is too hard. It's not too hard for us. We're the country that put a man on the moon. We're the country that dammed up the Colorado River so that a city named Las Vegas could exist. There's no way you're going to tell me we can't deal with gun control and save our young people and listen to their cry for help as they walk out of school for 17 minutes to remember 17 children who thought that they would be going home that evening back to their parents but yet they end up at the morgue. I'm going to leave this conversation with that comment as we reflect and pay respect to those that have lost their lives to school violence, to school shootings, any young person that have lost their lives to gun violence and gun shootings. We can do better, America. We can do better, Georgia. We can do better, Columbus. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Hope you'll join me again next Sunday as we talk about issues that are relevant to our community. Take care. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.